Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you join us for episode 315. Today we're stepping into the electrifying world of Australian alt dance trio Haiku Hands. This boundary-pushing band are unleashing their highly anticipated second record, Pleasure Beast, upon the world today. Haiku Hands have been making waves globally, captivating audiences at international festivals while collaborating with acclaimed producers like Dave Sitek from TV on the Radio and homegrown hero Motez. In this episode today, we're privileged to have Beatrice Lewis on, one of the band members, and she's joining us to dive deep into the heart of Pleasure Beast. We'll unravel the intricate web of songwriting that threads through this exhilarating album, exploring the band's creative processes and the stories that inspired the music. We're also going to delve into the origins of Haiku Hands, discovering how three distinct creatives merged their unique talents and visions to craft their infectious sounds. Plus, we're also going to get a glimpse into the band's experiences while touring in support of this brand new record and what audiences have in store and what they can expect from their live performances next year. This was such a cool conversation and such a pleasure to be chatting with Bea. We want to thank her very much for her time. And we also want to say a massive thank you to Emma from Thinking Loud for her help with today's episode. Before we get into it, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your preferred podcast platform. Stay tuned for our latest episodes by following us on social media. All of those details can be found in the show notes for today's episode. We're not going to waste your time any further. Let's dive into the exhilarating world of Haiku Hands with Bea Lewis. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Beatrice Lewis from Haiku Hands. Beatrice, hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi.
Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. I very much appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, I've been looking and listening to your past artists and, yeah, I feel really lucky to be here. You've interviewed some great people.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. Yeah. Well, look, I'm very excited to be interviewing yourself today for this new Haiku Hands record. I was very lucky enough to have a bit of a sneak peek and have a listen to this record. The brand new record is called Pleasure Beast. And with no pun intended, congratulations on an absolute beast of a record. I know it's a terrible pun. I'm sorry that I had to use it, but
I hope it gets used heaps in this rollout. That's an awesome pun. Yeah.
For yourself, is there much thought to the puns that can be generated when coming up with a title for a record?
Oh my gosh. I'm not much of a pun guy, but I do appreciate a good pun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I haven't spent enough time thinking about the puns that can come out of this album, but I think there's a lot, particularly with the track names and yeah.
With some of those track names as well, I would agree. But all puns aside, congratulations on this record. It is absolutely incredible. How are you and the band feeling now that it is coming out?
Oh, I mean, I just had to have a little re-listen this morning because it was such an epic journey to finish it. And so I think when it was done, I took a little step back and then just re-listen to it then, and I absolutely love it. I feel really happy with it as a body of work, and that's not something I often feel often as an artist. I am quite not a perfectionist, but I work hard and I always want things to be, you know, as amazing as they can be. So I'm actually quite stoked, which is a nice feeling.
Of course. Well, and I feel like, yeah, as you should be, this record is almost kind of what I feel that Haiku Hands does best in terms of bringing together these like beautifully intricate sonics, but also mismatch of like, it's like, what, oh my God, what is it called? Like a patchwork quilt?
We're grandmas. We're just making patchwork quilts, sonic patchwork quilts.
But that is an
Pass me the tea. Yeah.
But that's a very impressive feat in itself, because I think that there's just such a range of different kinds of music, different kinds of themes and tones and feelings across this record. It is truly incredible what you've kind of done in terms of those sonics.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
No, of course. I guess, curious to know, for this second record, was there much of a change, I guess, from the first self-titled one in how you produced and how you wrote some of these songs?
Yeah, I think it was a massive shift for us as a band. When we first started writing together many years ago, it was Claire and I and a friend of ours, Joel Ma, and it was very just coming together and experimenting and seeing what happened with us in the room. And then, from that, it all just kind of evolved in this very natural and interesting way where we got some shows and then we wrote Not About You, and I think it was unanimous. We were like, yes, this is a track to put out. So we put that out as a single and that went bananas. And then I think we were just kind of scrambling a little bit to kind of get it, to understand what was happening. And I think it took us a little minute to get on our feet and kind of work out who we were and what our sound was. And I think with this album, it feels much more intentional. It feels like we know who we are, and we all kind of came into ourselves more as an artist, as artists. And I think that feels quite clear to me in the cohesion of the sound and all the different areas that we're exploring sonically. So feels quite different.
Of course. I think that this record, there is almost like a confidence in some of these new songs as well, and not that there wasn't from some of those previous songs. I'm not ever going to say that there was like a shy sound, but it was very like, yeah, you can hear the, I guess, the confidence within the band and within these new songs.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel that in myself. I can only really speak for myself, but I feel much more confident as a producer and as a vocalist and as a, a composer, basically, in this genre, I guess. It feels good. It feels really good, actually. It feels really exciting. Like, I almost just want to start writing another album straight away just because it's, yeah, I feel like this is a fun, I feel like I'm in like a bit of a fun universe sonically that I want to keep exploring into different areas. I really like the harder sounds of like Cool For You and Get It. And I also really like the more psychedelic sounds of Paradise and the playful kind of stuff like Grandma. So, yeah, it's kind of, I feel like we've just stepped into this new world and I'm excited to go further.
Oh, look, I'm very excited to see what those possible next steps take. I know we're only talking about album two, so we'll see.
Yeah. Calm down, everybody. Yeah.
I know, I think part of this record was written while you were on the road as well. So I think there was part of it written while at home and then part of like on tour. Do you have a preference to either of those, or do both seem to have the same, not result, but I guess success rate or efficiency rate?
Yeah, I think because Claire, Mia and I don't live in the same place. So I live in Melbourne, Mia's in Sydney and Claire's in the Blue Mountains. So we are, I think one of us is always kind of travelling when we're writing. And Yeah, so for this album, we did start writing it over in Bali at W Hotels, and that was kind of like, I mean, we put the first album out in September 2020, and then we've kind of just been writing throughout that time a little bit, but the Bali trip last October was like the real kind of focus of, I think our manager, she says this thing, she's like, we need an album, and my stomach drops every time. I'm like, oh. And I think she said that last year, and then so then, yeah, we kind of started to focus on it a bit more. So, yeah, and writing in Bali was awesome. That was the first time that I'd done like a proper overseas trip where you go and it's the focus. And it was actually really – I really liked it because I think all your senses are really activated because you're in a new place and you're eating new food, and so really it's like you're in a new energy. Yeah, so – yeah, I enjoy writing on the road and I enjoy writing at home. I enjoy it all. Sorry, that's not a very good, it's not a good answer to your question. I just like writing, so yeah, I'm happy to do it wherever. So,
but it does definitely answer the question. I would love to know, if I may be so bold as to ask about my favorite track on the record.
Oh, yes.
I really liked Elastic Love, which
That's so nice.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
I think it was like a nice mix of there's some more like almost gentle sounds in this track, but then also some of the sonics are still quite hard hitting. Are you able to maybe possibly walk us through the creation of this song or what inspired Elastic Love?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you said that. It's also, not many people outside of our team have heard the album, so it's really nice to get your feedback. That song we actually started writing like in 2015, so it was one of the very first songs that we wrote. And Joel Ma, who I mentioned before, had a beat, which was that original beat. And yeah, we just wrote about basically being out and just that feeling of being in an altered state and, you know, with people and just exploring, I don't know, other universes, I guess. So it's just sat there for years, like one of those songs that just sits there and, yeah, just sits on your hard drive and gets moved around into all these different folders. And then when we were writing the album, we were kind of working out what energies were missing. So, and that was it just had a spot. I think that kind of, it just needed to be on this album. And so, yeah, then Joel worked on the beat. He did an amazing job. It was nice to also see him, how far he's come as a producer. So that first original demo and then what he created, now it's amazing. Like I love it. And yeah, then Claire kept her verse. So she's got the original recording from 8 years ago or whatever. And I think I redid mine and Mia wrote a new verse, which is awesome. It's my favorite verses of Mia actually on the whole record. And then Joel and I recorded heaps of chorus and Mia and Claire did some more chorus recordings in Sydney. And yeah.
I love that.
That's that journey of that song. Yeah. And I'm so glad I'm so glad when songs, that happens with songs, because I feel like you kind of have this weird responsibility towards songs when you write them, and you don't just want to like leave them in the cupboard because they all have something special in them, some special moment, and I always want to look after them. And I'm really glad that one got cared for and released, and I think it turned out really well. I just listened to it this morning and I'm stoked.
I would 100% agree. It is an incredible song, and thank you for sharing that with us. I guess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I know you've already gone through it, so I won't ask you, but I'm very curious when songs do go through almost like a lifetime of changes or growth, in terms of that they start out as one thing and years kind of go by to the point where they, maybe they're just not ready at that time. Maybe it wasn't fully ready to be released into the world in 2015, but I'm glad that we're getting it in 2023. So thank you for sharing that again.
Oh, it's fine. It is. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. The actually, I don't know if you know this singer-songwriter in Melbourne, Ainsley Wills.
Yes. Yeah.
You know Ainsley? Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. She's an incredible songwriter. And she did this thing once. I think it was Ainsley, but they put up like a little Instagram video of like the four or five versions of the song, and they kind of like blended them into each other. So like made a mix of the four or five versions, and it was just so wild to hear it, like to hear, you know, the basic phone recording with the guitar and voice, and then, you know, some more production, and then the rearrangement, and then the mix, and then the master. And yeah, I just think it's such an interesting process, songwriting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hence, yeah, it's my interest has what spawned this very podcast.
So I just made a whole podcast about it. Yeah. Do you write songs as well?
Not so much anymore. I used to, and then maybe I've never actually said this. And maybe wasn't feeling totally confident with how they were going, and so instead thought I'd talk to people about it, and that seems to have worked.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that. I always think about that when, just the way that our subconscious always keeps us working on the things that we love, even if our brain is like, no, you can't do that. Our subconscious is like, we're going to do this anyway.
I'll find another way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Beatrice, I'd love to talk about, I guess, your introduction to music and what originally got you into songwriting.
When you say that you weren't particularly confident, I feel like that's been a really big journey for me. Like, it took me a long time to feel confident enough to put out my music and to even show people what I was writing. I started off I actually wanted to do music when I left primary school, and my mum wouldn't let me. I said, it's not a job. So I went and studied international relations and like kind of human rights development stuff. I went, lived in the Philippines. And when I was over there, we were doing lots of kind of field work. But I also did a project with a theatre company over there where we wrote music for, I was living at an orphanage, and we kind of wrote a bunch of stories of these kids, and we ended up touring it around the Philippines. And it was so amazing, like watching music kind of, and watching, they're so talented, naturally talented, and watching them kind of just, these kids come alive with their stories being told, and watching them kind of process a bunch of stuff through music. And I was really like, for me, politics is so important, but it's not the way that I wanted to kind of contribute. So then I came back and studied voice at NMIT in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And when I was studying, I actually got cysts on my vocal cords midway through, and started playing cello instead, just while my voice was healing. And I wanted to get some loop pedals for the cello. And I, my friend Fred said, no, don't get loop pedals, get this program called Ableton, get a computer and get this program called Ableton. And then I just started making beats, and that was just kind of it for me. I was like, I love this so much. I just loved the possibility in production of, I don't actually feel like a very accomplished musician. I feel more like a sound explorer. Like, I just love sound. I love you know, reverbs that go for 5 days and, you know, synthesizers and sounds of kick drums and, you know, what you can do vocally with the voice when you put it in the laptop and can mess with it. Yeah, so I think that was my kind of introduction, and I was writing a lot of electronic music for a long time, and then mainly writing beats, and Haiku Hands was the first time that I really stepped into kind of songwriting and writing more traditional, yeah, kind of songs. So that was awesome. Like, I was writing lyrics. I was writing songs, but they weren't kind of as traditional, you know, kind of pop songs, I guess. And I remember having this weird thing where we did a show for Falls Festival up in Byron. It was our first gig on this massive show, and it was all these people were singing the lyrics back to us in the show. And I rung Joel after the show, who we wrote a lot of the songs with and who's a very good friend of mine. And I was like, I think I left the SoundCloud link on public. And he was like, no, it's pop music, so people learn the music straight away because it's really easy to remember. And I was like, oh my God, I'm in a pop band. I just had this like crazy, yeah. So that was kind of my little journey. And then since then, I just love it. I'm just like going deeper and deeper into, and I have another band or two with Joel where we write like really pop stuff for sync and publishing. And I feel like the more I get into music, like the more the horizon expands and the more excited I get. It's like there's just so many different ways to do it. And we actually had a really good, the All Around the World, the first song on the album, we wrote it with Dave Sitek in LA, who does a bunch of stuff, TV on the radio is, I think, maybe his most well-known thing. But writing with him felt like this whole other universe opened up in relation to creativity and how you write songs, like how you process the world and how you view the world and then how you kind of alchemize that into songs. And so I guess when I was saying I want to write a whole other record, it's because I just keep getting more and more, excited by it in a way.
100%. Well, I know that there's a lot of people excited about this record coming out. I think even in preparation for today, doing a bit of online reconnaissance, some sleuthing.
Yeah. Exploration.
Exactly. Seeing that there's a lot of online chatter about, just about what's coming up for Haiku Hands. And I'm very excited when this album is going to be announced and released for fans to be able to get their hands on it. I believe you've got some upcoming US dates in the next month or two. I obviously do have to ask, can we expect some Australian shows maybe around the country to support the record?
Yes, you absolutely can. I think maybe we're definitely going to the US for the last week of November and first week of December. We're supporting Big Frida, which is so unbelievably amazing and cool and exciting. I'm a big fan, so that's cool. And then, I think we'll come back and we'll do a run of Australian shows early next year.
That is.
Sorry,
I cut you off. Go.
No, I was just going to say it's so exciting because we didn't get to do it for the first album because we're in lockdown. So I feel particularly excited to be able to put this out and then, be able to do shows to support it. And we have such good fans in Australia. Like, there's a whole crew in Melbourne who are just at every show, and they just make me so happy. Like, I just like getting running on stage and seeing their beautiful beaming faces looking at us, I'm just like, fuck, this is so great. So I really want to make a really amazing show and really kind of, again, like support these songs and give them the release into the world that they deserve.
I absolutely love that. And I think that says something about the music of Haiku Hands in terms of like it's not just And this is not to discredit anyone that, conducts or manages their project in any other way. Everyone's art is their own art. But I think there is something really special when you can tell that the artist, producer, songwriter, whoever it is, that there is a love and care for the work that they've done and making sure that it does get its, get its due in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really feel that. There's like one or two songs that have even come out for me with not quite the right production or something, and I still even feel like the core of those songs. I feel like I was like, oh, no, we let that song down. So now I feel extra kind of committed to going the extra mile to make sure that, everything around it, everything around the songs feels really supportive for when they come out. I keep talking about them like they're people.
in a way they are. They're like little things that you've cared for.
Beings or something. Yeah.
Again, see, this is talking to the care that the band has for their songs. It is it's not just a 3-minute audio clip for yourself. It is a living thing for people.
It is. It's a little universe. Yeah.
Beatrice, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's on high rotation for yourself?
Oh, that is such a good question. And I got asked it in a workshop the other day and I said, I'm only listening to my own music because I'm writing so much at the moment. So, which sounded incredibly narcissistic and weird. So I'm not going to say that now.
You can if you want. We've had people say it before and it does make sense. When you're in a promo cycle and writing, it makes sense.
Yeah, I have another band called Kadajala Kiridata and we've just put a big show up on in Cairns. So I just had to write 80 minutes of original music for that show. So that was another universe of my own music and then doing a composition for Ableton at the moment. And so all I'm doing is writing that, which it's good. It's, I think that sometimes though it is nice to open your ears up to other kind of sounds. And at the moment I'm actually, the only time I'm really listening to music is very, very, chill. Oh, what do you call it? Like, not relaxation music, like kind of like Harold Budd and Brian Eno and, very, I don't know what you call that genre, like nervous system relaxing music. And also a lot of books at the moment. I've actually been really enjoying books. That's what I'm listening to. Also, I see a Fred Again album in the background of your thing and I've been really loving Fred Again. So many.
All very solid choices. Beatrice, thank you so much for coming onto the pod today and congrats on the new Haiku Hands album, Pleasure Beast. It's out this week when this episode airs. But thank you again for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.